Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Into the end zone! Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line!
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime!
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to Friday, last day of the week. Last day of the week before training camp begins. We are 6 days away from the Bills' 2019 training camp. They open it up next Thursday at St. John Fisher College in Rochester. We're a couple of weeks away from the practice at the stadium. That's coming up on Friday, August 2nd. A couple of weeks away from that, right there in New Era Field. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm John Murphy. Steve Tasker off today. And joining us, co-host for the second straight day from Bleacher Report, former Buffalo News Bills beat reporter, covered the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Happy to have Tyler Dunn back. The fact that you're back means you must have enjoyed yesterday.
Oh, absolutely, right? Man. That was a fun time.
It was fun yesterday.
Let's keep doing it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for
Tyler is with us here today as we talk about the Bills and the NFL. We've got a good show coming up. Greg Cosell, a usual Friday guest of ours during the regular season, is going to join us today. You know Greg. You know who he is at least, right?
Oh, man, one of the best at breaking down the X's and O's, and
yeah.
I'm sure he'll have a lot to say on Josh Allen. Probably can forecast the future better than we can.
Yeah, so. He's done a lot of work on Josh Allen, he tells us, in the last weeks and months, and we're going to dive into that with Greg Cosell. He'll be joining us today at 1 o'clock. A little bit of news today around the Bills and the NFL. The news around the Bills, a switch at safety. Rafael Bush has decided to retire just less than a week before training camp opens. Rafael Bush, a veteran, who played in 15 games, 7 starts last year for the Bills, has elected to retire. He even got to play a little nickel corner last year when the Bills were in a pinch. He was in a sub-package role, 7th on the team with 44 tackles last year. He's played for 5 NFL teams in his career, Atlanta, Denver, Detroit, and New Orleans included. A 9-year run, undrafted player Rafael Bush has decided to call it a career. He has decided to retire. And the Bills ready with a replacement, and a notable replacement. Kurt Coleman goes into his 10th year in the league. He's 31 years old. He's played in 132 games over his NFL career, 83 starts. Played last year in 16 games, 9 starts for the New Orleans Saints. Now, you know, the Bills are pretty good at safety. But, Tyler, Kurt Coleman would be an interesting guy to keep an eye on, I would think, once camp begins, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if something were to happen to Micah Hyde or Jordan Poirier, I think Sean McDermott would want somebody that knows his defense to step right in and not miss a beat. So, you know, who better than somebody who's been in his scheme before on multiple teams, I think, right? Philadelphia and Carolina. So he's really familiar with what McDermott likes to do back there. And, you know, you're not really, you know, throwing somebody out there that doesn't know what the heck they're doing if that were to happen.
Yeah. The report is a 1-year deal worth about $1 million. So obviously it's a bargain price for a guy going into his 10th year. Kurt Coleman, as Tyler said, it appears he was broke into the league with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a draft pick of the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2010, which was Sean McDermott's final year. Coleman was a 7th-round pick in 2010. That would have been Sean McDermott's final year with the Philadelphia Eagles. And then a couple of years after that, Coleman moved on to play with the Carolina Panthers. It was Sean McDermott, the defense coordinator there, 2015 through 2017. A strong safety. His size, 5'11", 208 pounds. A veteran, as we said, going into his 10th year. We'll see how it plays out. Does he make contributions on special teams? Does he get a chance to be a backup, certainly a qualified backup, but you know, he's on the street a week before camp begins, which leads you to believe that, you know, his stock was not extremely high around the NFL, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably there's a reason he wasn't on a team, you know, for much of this offseason, pretty much the entire offseason, but he is somebody who had, I think, 7 interceptions in 2015. That was when the Panthers made that run to the Super Bowl, so around the ball, can make plays. Now, that was, what, 4 years ago at this point, so they'll see what he has left. I mean, 31 years old, I think it's a 1-year deal. You're not, you know, signing this guy to some 5-6 year extension, making some huge investment. It's basically a player you trust that you hope you don't really need to use that much.
Yeah, 3 interceptions. Just looking at his bio here. 3 interceptions in 1 game for the Eagles back in 2011, a victory at Washington. 16 playoff appearances, 9 starts. Much of that, I'm sorry, not that playoff appearances. Let me read that again. I've lost that. But he did play in the playoffs with
eight playoff games.
Eight, there it is.
A ton of playoff experience, which is obviously they had like here.
Yeah, Ohio State product. Kurt Coleman is now with the Buffalo Bills. Raphael Bush is out. The timing of the move is interesting. I mean, obviously the Bills have had, what, a month, almost 5 weeks since their last minicamp practice. Coleman available then. They got to look at Raphael Bush. You never know how these things work out. Maybe Bush came to them and said, look, I didn't feel good this spring with how I was playing. It's time for me to move on. I mean, it could have gone like that, right?
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday a little bit, John. Like, these are good problems to have if you're the Bills.
Oh, yeah.
If this is the hole you need to fill this time of year. I mean, I can remember a few years back, Rex Ryan's first year, you know, him and Doug Whaley kind of plotting and scheming, you know, in Pittsburgh the night we saw him out the night before. They're clearly talking about Ikan and Polly. The next day they sign him and they're hoping he ignites the pass rush. That was kind of a scramble mode, it seemed, to just find somebody to ignite a pass rush. I don't think the Bills defense right now is in that situation where they need to really scour the waiver wire for somebody they absolutely need to perform and produce. Probably a good problem to have if you're scrambling for a third, fourth safety that you might not even need that much.
Tell me that story. I never heard the story about Rex. Where'd you see him? Pittsburgh somewhere?
Yeah, me and some buddies, you know, covering the team. We're out at the Pittsburgh pub.
Oh, yeah. Been there?
So, they pretended we didn't exist. We didn't talk to Rex and Doug Whaley that night, but they were off in a corner and, you know, clearly talking about something really serious. It was just a one-on-one conversation.
I never heard this.
And we're kind of thinking to ourselves, you know, what's going on? I was just out with Mike Rodak, Matt Fairburn, I believe, you know, a couple guys that still cover the team, or I should say Matt does. And lo and behold, the next day, you know, that was a bombshell in the NFL. I mean, obviously, Ikan and Polly had just slugged his own quarterback in the face, Geno Smith, and nobody in the league would touch him with a 10-foot pole. And here's Rex swooping in. And not only did they sign him, I mean, they that year, but really I think it even was into the following year, we're really kind of counting on him as a player they would actually need.
They didn't get much from him.
And they didn't get anything at all.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Never heard that story. That's a good story.
Pittsburgh pub. That's where things that's go down, right?
Went down back then.
It did back then. Probably not now.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. Tyler Dunn is with us today in place of Steve Tasker, who returns on Monday. We're going live at training camp next Thursday, 9:45 a.m. practice on Thursday morning at St. John Fisher College, the first training camp practice of the year. And we'll be there from noon to 3 to recap that first day. We'll be there over the next couple of weeks before we go to Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina, for those Bills practices with the Carolina Panthers. So welcome to the show. As we said, Greg Cosell. Did I say that already? Greg Cosell? Yeah.
Say it again. Hey.
Greg Cosell is going to join us
big
at 1 o'clock.
Guess.
Yeah,
like
good
it.
Guest. He's one of our best guests. And he's done a lot of breakdown, as we said, on Josh Allen. We'll talk to him about that. It's not all about Josh Allen, not all about the Bills, and this is why it's great to have Tyler in here with us today. We can take a look at the rest of the NFL, including the AFC East, and that gets us to our Twitter question today. It is about the AFC East, and obviously with a total of 6 games against AFC East opponents, they make up the bulk of the Bills' schedule and really some of the key games of the Bills' schedule. I want to get your thoughts on what's going on, Tyler's and yours in the audience, what's going on in the AFC East, and maybe some of the important questions going on around the league about the AFC East. It's a Twitter question, not a poll today. We can take your responses on the telephone line at 803-0550, toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550, or take them on Twitter, part of our tweet sheet. We'll get to those a little bit later on. So outside of the Buffalo Bills, what's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? We know all of the Bills issues, right? We talk about them every day. We have for months. But outside of the Bills, what's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? I think it's an intriguing division, although for years now, Tyler, it's been the Patriots and a bunch of also-rans. Most people expect that trend to continue this year. Do you? Do you think it's the Patriots win it and everybody else vies for second place? Do you see the division like that?
I do. And, you know, we're a broken record here, but until Tom Brady retires at this point, that's just the reality of it. And it's an uphill battle that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott absolutely knew they would be facing until Tom Brady retires. And, you know, I think that we started to see the signs. Everybody started to see the signs last year of some decline in Brady. You know, midway through the season, I think in December, we did a roundtable piece at Bleach Report. I talked to, you know, Warren Moon, Joe Theismann, Drew Bledsoe, a bunch of these former quarterbacks, Trent Green, Darren Woodson, a DB, just to try to figure that out? Like, are we starting to see those signs? I mean, Warren Moon was pretty blunt and said, yeah, that you are seeing a decline, and it's gradual, and once you start to lose it, you can't get it back. Lo and behold, the Patriots do what they do. I mean, they just kind of adapted on the fly. They started running the ball more. Their defense started improving, and Tom Brady made the plays he had to make to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in that AFC Championship game, and obviously the defense was outstanding in the Super Bowl. So I think as a team, they just kind of find a way to constantly change their identity, tweak their identity, I should say, and even without Rob Gronkowski, I think they find a way to do it again. I mean, all the running backs that they have, they still have Julian Edelman. They still have these weapons. Hey, Josh Gordon, I wouldn't forget about him quite yet either. It's sad for people here in Western New York, but that's the reality. It's the Patriots and everybody else.
What are the questions, if any, about the New England Patriots? I have a couple. And number one paramount question, I think, is where is Brady? Are his skills declining? I think if you watched last year, you could say that's likely to be the case, that his skills are declining. But to what extent, I guess, would be the big question, right? And how much does it matter when they can switch gears and get to a strong running game the way they did last year? A couple of Patriots questions. I want to get yours, too, on this, Tyler. Yeah, Brady, you know, where is he in his professional life as far as skill set? And how do they replace Gronkowski? There's nobody like him. Nobody like him on their roster or anybody else's. Never has been somebody quite like him, as a matter of fact, in the NFL. And, you know, those would be the two paramount questions for me about the Patriots. What about you? What do you think about when you wonder, and I'm sure you do, wonder about the Patriots this year?
Right. I mean, that's number one, is Tom Brady. And is he still Tom Brady? And if you were to talk to people in his inner circle, they obviously would say, yes, Tom House, his personal quarterback, coach, guru, who's been around a ton of quarterbacks in the league. When we talked, he said, look, we've done studies. We've broken it down to a science. The things that I've measured with his velocity haven't changed. He insists that Tom Brady can still sling it. Now, the film does suggest that, you know, maybe he's not exactly throwing it 20 yards on a rope on a deep out. There's just certain routes that he probably can't convert that he used to, because he's getting older. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Tom Brady's getting old and on the decline.
Don't you think Brady's strength has always been his head and not his arm? I mean, I don't think he's ever been confused as a pinpoint, great passer, can make every throw, big strong arm. Nobody's ever thought of him like that. I think it's his command of the offense and what he knows about, you know, taking advantage of defensive weaknesses that maybe are his biggest asset. Certainly he's got a more than adequate arm, a pretty good arm, and has had one, but and I don't know how much slippage you could expect on a mental capacity from a guy who works as hard as he does and puts in as much time as he appears to and lets us know that he does. Right?
He's got an encyclopedia of knowledge, man, unlike anybody in the game. And I thought that Matt Hasselbeck kind of put it best for this piece I was just talking about, where he gets inside of your head. It's like he turns it into a mind game out there where, in his words, it becomes – he burned us on the blitz that one time. We can't blitz him. And then defenses stop blitzing him, and he picks you apart anyways. It's like he constantly has you on your toes, and you don't really know how to defend him. And they still have weapons around him. These aren't chumps that are a receiver at running back. I mean, they've got talent around Tom Brady.
Yeah, there is championship caliber talent there as well. Replacing Gronkowski, a problem for the Patriots, an issue for the Patriots? What do you think?
I'd say yes, but in 2016, Gronk played, what, 8 games? And that might have been the best team of the decade. We were sitting here with Steve Tasker a couple weeks ago. I think they were on that list of one of the best teams ever. They, you know, that was the 28-3 comeback, obviously. They found a way to win without him, adapt without him. I mean, Julian Edelman, if they were to lose Julian Edelman, I think then it's a big problem, right? Because then that's another big-time security blanket that Tom Brady trusts. A big-time producer, but N'Keal Harry's around now. You know, they drafted a receiver in the first round. They like Philip Dorsett a lot. I'm not ready to say that this offense is going to be a heck of a lot worse without Gronk, but he's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, he's the best tight end ever. One of the best tight ends ever. So it definitely doesn't help not having him.
Got to be a difference a little bit. Outside of the Bills, what's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? We'd love to hear from you. Phone lines open 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Send in a tweet at One Bills Live. We might read it on the tweet sheet. Let's go to the Dolphins. I guess go to the bottom, the expected bottom of the AFC East. biggest question mark for them, is it in fact who's going to play quarterback, Rosen or Fitz? It's a good question. It's a question that has some resonance here in Buffalo because we know Ryan Fitzpatrick so well. We know about Fitzpatrick's history of just being the guy, even if, you know, if they start the season with Josh Rosen, does anybody doubt that Fitz will get his starts at some point during the season? Of course he will. And, of course, there's Rosen, too, a first-round pick, a pretty high pick a year ago who had less than stellar results in Arizona, but I don't think anybody smart is writing him off as a prospect. I mean, shoot, there were legions of Bills fans who thought the Bills made a mistake bypassing Rosen to get Josh Allen. But it is an intriguing question which way they go. New head coach down there as well in Flores. But I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. Maybe that's the biggest question about the Dolphins. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely rebuilding. They're kind of where the Bills were a couple years ago in trying to just start from the bottom, get the players that they want to get. I don't know if Josh Rosen's the answer. I like what they did, though. I mean, they kind of just stumbled into that, right? I mean, they can't control what happens with other teams. The Arizona Cardinals, they loved Kyler Murray. It made Josh Rosen expendable.
They didn't give up a bunch to get him?
No, they didn't give up much at all. I kind of love the trade. If it doesn't work out, it's a second-round pick. It's not like they had to invest a top-five franchise quarterback-ish capital into a player where, you know, your entire front office is going to get fired if this player doesn't work out. If Josh Rosen doesn't work out, you know, everybody's going to keep their jobs. And there's a lot to like. I mean, out of all those quarterbacks in that draft, just in terms of the college production, he, more than anybody, just produced in big-time moments. I mean, late in the fourth quarter, pressure in his face, needing to stick a throw with you know, all the pressure in the world on his shoulders. He produced. I think there's a lot to love there, but he was not good last year, as you noted, John. He doesn't really have a lot around him in Miami, too. I mean, this is a pretty weak supporting cast, so it could be rough, and it probably doesn't even matter if it's Fitzpatrick or Rosen out there.
Yeah. Dolphins should be okay defensively, I would think, with a defensive-minded head coach in Coach Flores, first-round draft pick Christian Wilkins, highly regarded defensive lineman. And the back end is good. Xavien Howard had a great year for the Dolphins last year, and Minkah Fitzpatrick had a good first year, their first-round pick a year ago. I don't know if that's enough to, you know, generate more than a half dozen wins down there.
You forgot Buffalo fan favorite Kiko Alonso.
Kiko's there.
Everybody loves him here, right?
No. I always liked Kiko.
Did you?
I don't like the way he's played the last couple years. I thought he was a decent player. I think he got worse. But,
that secondary is really good. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick, that was a player they pinpointed their scouting department for a long, long time. There's a great piece on Yahoo Sports. Pete Thamel had some access to their scouting staff for a while leading up to that pick. Folks should check it out. So, yeah, I mean, that could be enough to steal a game here and there. I mean, we always know that the Patriots struggle in Miami for whatever reason. So, yeah, this is just a team in transition. I think the expectations are as low in Miami as they possibly could be for any team in the league.
I agree. Talking about the biggest question marks in the AFC East, and we'll get your input on this as well as after Tyler and I go through it. One more team to look at, the New York Jets. And maybe more than any year I can recall in recent memory anyway, Tyler, the Bills-Jets matchup is extremely intriguing. It's great the way the schedule's set up. Game 1 and Game 16, that's great. Start with them, test yourself against the Jets, and then finish up with them. Maybe December 29th you're playing a real meaningful game. Maybe for a playoff spot. There's that. There's the first-round quarterbacks from each of them, right? Just a couple of picks apart. Sam Darnold in New York and, of course, Josh Allen here. There's other things going on. Quinnen Williams, one of the top draft picks this year, who has yet to sign his contract, by the way. Quinnen Williams in the middle, presumably the incoming anchor for that Jets defensive line. On the back end, Jamal Adams, first-round pick going into his, third year, a really solid player. There's a lot to like about the Jets, but one of our crew, we were talking today about this Bills-Jets matchup, mentioned to me, I forget who it was, some prognosticator it was Connor Orr, NFL.com, has the Jets a full 3 games ahead of the Bills by the end of the year. 3 games, 3 more wins than the Bills have, like 9 wins for the Jets, 6 for the Bills. I think it's much closer than that. I really do.
Hey, and Connor he's one of my good college buddies, too. I went to Syracuse together.
Guy.
But, I'm not going to agree with him there, though. Yeah, I like the Jets a lot. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, they needed to take a chance on somebody. This is maybe the best running back in the game, maybe the best player in the game. You can do things with Le'Veon Bell that you can't do with any other player. Defensively, you know, being bad for a while helped out. I mean, you've got Leonard Williams, Quinnen Williams, up front. They paid up for C.J. Mosley. Avery Williamson is one of the most underrated linebackers in football. Jamal Adams might be a top five safety.
Yeah.
There's so much to love about this roster, John, but then you have all the drama. I mean, then the GM is out. Adam Gase wins this power play, who wasn't really that successful in Miami, as we talked about yesterday, did great things before that in Chicago and Denver, but you kind of wonder structurally, is this maybe a house of cards? I mean, they're really giving Adam Gase a ton of power here. Now, I did like the hire of, I think, Joe Douglas is who they brought in, right? I mean, he's somebody who's really well-respected.
He was Gase's guy, right?
Across the NFL. Yeah, so I guess I love the roster. I can see where Connor would give him 9 wins, and you want to believe, but with the Jets, it's always dysfunctional one way or another, and I just think with everything we saw this offseason, things could fall apart. I mean, Adam Gase, he sounds like he didn't even want Le'Veon Bell. So how's that relationship going to work out?
Yeah. And Adam Rank talked with us about the Jets yesterday. He was way down on the Jets because of the dysfunction that you mentioned, and way down on Adam Gase. And I happen to agree with him. What did Gase do with the Dolphins that would lead the New York Jets? Obviously, McCagnan, the old GM, was probably not in this camp. But what made them think that he was a guy they absolutely had to have? I don't see it. Gase has the reputation of a quarterback expert, quarterback whisperer, because of what? His work with Peyton Manning, who was a fully formed NFL quarterback by the time Adam Gase got him. In fact, those who have coached Peyton Manning and been around Peyton Manning will tell you that, quite frankly, he wasn't real receptive to coaching about quarterback technique and quarterback play. You know what I mean? He had his own way and did it and excelled all his way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I don't know what Gase had in his background that made the Jets think this is the guy we have to have. And then can I add this to the Jets' possible dysfunction mess? And, I may live to regret saying this, but as much as I like Greg Williams personally, I don't think he's a good team guy. I think he's kind of a guy who will want to establish his defense and have his name on that defense and make his name as the Jets' defense coordinator. And sometimes that doesn't really work to the benefit of the team. I could see that happening in New York, especially with some of the big-time players he has now. Mosley, as you said, Jamal Adams on the back end, Leonard Williams, Quinnen Williams up front. He might say, well, whatever they're doing on offense, this is my defense, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to look like. You can see. Yeah. Can you not see Greg Williams doing
that
coaching?
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody who saw Hard Knocks this last summer got a sneak peek at his personality. It's different. It's pretty wild that he's still in the NFL through the whole Bounty Gate thing and, cut the head off and the body will die, go after his knees, we're going to concuss this player, that player. I mean, just awful stuff. I mean, it still kind of blows my mind to see him on a sideline to begin with. But if you can look past all of that, I mean, he brings attitude to a defense.
Oh, yeah.
He brings swagger, and he has more talent on this Jets defense than maybe he even had in Cleveland. Maybe he had it on any other defense he's ever had, even back to New Orleans. So it could be a perfect combination, but getting back to that dysfunction, you almost assume that there's going to be a problem at some point that the offensive minds and the defensive minds could clash. And Adam Gase is a very strong personality. How is that really going to work out? So, I want to believe in the Jets. You want to believe in that roster.
Why?
I mean, Sam Darnold has everything you'd want in a starting quarterback. Le'Veon Bell is a running back that can line up in the slot, can line up out wide. Hey, he just sat out a whole year. He's going to be fresh. I mean, even Robbie Anderson, Quincy Anunoby.
I don't want to believe in the Jets. I hate the Jets worse than anybody in the league, quite frankly. What do you think? We've talked about it outside of the Bills. We talk about the Bills all year long here, but obviously you keep aware of what's going on in the AFC East in particular. It's a very intriguing division. I think it's, again, because the Bills are in it, but I happen to think, well, actually, you've got the national perspective. Do you think most NFL observers look at the AFC East and think, Patriots, move on, what's next? Do you think that's because maybe it's just because we are in it, we feel like, I think there's great question marks about all of these teams.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Unless you're Michael Robinson, man, he's been on this the Bills bandwagon for a while. He thinks they're going to win the division. So hey, he's a smart guy. Maybe he's onto something. He sees something we don't see. And I've learned you just can't bet against Tom Brady. And it sounds simple, and people don't want to hear it. But until he retires, this is his division. This is his conference. This is his NFL.
I don't know. We'll see. What do you think? Give us a call. No, I mean, until he retires or his skills diminish, which I think we have witnessed some of that anyway.
But even though they've diminished, that's kind of where I think the genius of Belichick comes into play.
I
you give the ball to Sony Michel. a bunch. You give it to Rex Burkhead. You win with defense. It's, you know what though, a good point you mentioned. You know, they've lost a lot of coaches on defense.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where you start to see, you know, some problems arise, some chinks in the armor that maybe that. Maybe they aren't themselves defensively because a lot of those coaches have left the last 2 years.
What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills' offseason has been well chronicled on this show, but what about the rest of the division? Outside of the Bills, what's the biggest question marks in the AFC East? Let's take a phone call. Let's get some tweets in on this. Alex calling from New York City. Hello, Alex. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Oh, hey, guys. Long time listener, six-time caller.
Okay.
Just I love the show. Anytime we could talk Bills, I get really excited. And just wanted to say hi to Mr. Tasker. I haven't seen you in a long time, but the last time we met was at Wegmans, and thanks for signing my hat.
Okay, we'll pass that along. Steve's not here today, but we will pass that along.
I'm sorry. That's my fault.
That's okay.
So anyways, like the biggest question marks, I think, would be, who's progressing better? Is it Sam Darnold or is it Josh Allen? And then on the other side of things, is Tom Brady going to finally start to decline?
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about this. Alex, thanks for calling. I believe he has started a decline very slowly and very methodically, and I think he is so good on the mental side of the game that his decline is probably muted. You know, you might not even notice on a regular basis. I do believe that decline has begun, although. And I also think, yeah, you mentioned Darnold, Josh Allen, now you got Rosen in the division. I think that fact, those three first-round picks from a year ago makes the AFC East kind of a marquee division in the NFL. I really do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I don't mean to interrupt, but that was an unusual draft last year. That many first-round quarterbacks, not since, what, 83, was there that kind of interest in first-round quarterbacks. And now three of those, what, five first-rounders are in this division. That's pretty
right.
Cool.
Right, right. The three quarterbacks trying to take down Tom Brady are young enough to be his son. It's pretty wild when you think about it. Yeah, I mean, maybe there are those signs of decline, and then you pull up Tom Brady's numbers for the year, and it was 66% completion, 4,355 yards, 29 touchdowns. It's, you're right. It is kind of muted. They just kind of find a way to cover up what he might not be able to do well anymore. The Sam Darnold, Josh Allen thing is really interesting because they're polar opposites as quarterbacks, right, John?
Yeah. 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 Go on. What do you see there?
I mean, Sam Darnold's probably not going to just tuck it and try to truck stick a linebacker or leap over Anthony Barr. He's going to stay in the pocket. He's more accurate. You know, he can probably read a defense a little bit better than Josh Allen at this point. But Josh Allen has a much stronger arm. He can gun it deep better than Sam Darnold. I think the Bills are going to be relying on those big plays this year where the Jets maybe it is a little more methodical, a little more West Coast.
Are you reluctant to throw Josh Rosen in this equation just because you don't know if he'll be the guy? Is that what keeps it better? Or just because of his rookie year? Maybe he was that disappointing last year? I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like he's pretty far behind those
really?
Two.
Yeah, I don't know.
He just didn't show that much. And we'll see. I loved him in college.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody did. But whether it was the situation in Arizona, you know, the situation in Buffalo wasn't good for Josh Allen, though, either. I mean, that offensive line was not good.
Didn't have a lot of weapons.
Didn't have a lot of weapons at all. And when he came into the game, I mean, it was night and day from Nathan Peterman. And just a general excitement about Josh Allen. Just fun to watch. And I know we're sitting on here on this network talking about it, but I say that objectively. He was just a lot more fun to watch than Josh Rosen, which – you go back to draft day here, and a lot of fans, I'd say more fans than not, were unhappy with that choice.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, we heard about it. We heard a lot
about
it.
You heard from a few
show.
Of them.
We did. What do you think? We got phone lines open for you. Outside of the Bills, what are the biggest question marks in the AFC East? We'll take tweets on it, too, at One Bills Live, or give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. There's news today about Tyreek Hill. We'll talk about that when we return. The Chiefs wide receiver who is not going to face any sort of NFL discipline. So we'll talk about that a little bit. 6 days away from the starting training camp, 2 weeks away from the return of the blue and the red, the Bills' night practice, 2 weeks from today, Friday, August 2nd. Gates open at 5:15, and the practice starts at 6:15. They've got interactive games, photo ops with players and coaches, and much more. You need a ticket to get to the return of the Blue and the Red, the night practice, and you get the ticket vouchers at various locations, including Tops Markets, Mount Reed Boulevard in Rochester, Tops Market at Maple Road in Buffalo, 7-Eleven, Southwestern Boulevard, West Seneca, Crosby's on Main Street in Clarence, and Sunoco A-Plus Main Street in Waynesville. The return of the Blue and the Red, the Bills night practice, Friday, August 2nd, just 2 weeks from today. Tyler Dunn is with us here today in place of Steve Tasker, and we're coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday, this final day of the week. We're back Monday. Steve will be back on Monday. We've got Tyler Dunnan here in place of C for the second consecutive day, and a lot to talk about today. I want to hear from you, though, outside of the Bills. What's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? We know you're Bills fans. We know you follow the Bills, but you got to pay attention to what the Patriots, Jets, and Dolphins are doing. You don't have to, but it helps. And what they got question marks, I think it's pretty intriguing. We're going to go a little bit later on in the show, Tyler. I don't know what time. We're going to go through the Bleacher Report division winners. You and your colleagues there went through the division winners. Was it unanimous for the Patriots in the AFC East?
It was. Okay. It was,
that's
yeah.
That's fine. I would vote that way, too. I just don't think it's out of the realm of the
possibility. We know you're a Patriots lover.
Oh, no. No, not at all. Not a Jets. I don't even like the Dolphins. I really don't like these AFC East teams. I don't like them at all. Outside of the Bills, biggest question mark in the AFC East, what do you think? There's this bit of news today, and it is distasteful, but here it is. The NFL is not going to suspend Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill, the league announced today. So he can't attend Chiefs training camp, which opens next Friday, a week from today. The league issued a statement today saying they've conducted a comprehensive investigation of allegations regarding Tyreek Hill. It says, we have taken great care to ensure we do not interfere with the Johnson County Department for Children and Families and compromise the privacy or welfare of the child involved in any way. They said the court proceeding is confidential and has not been shared with us, and the court has sealed all law enforcement records. The league, the NFL, says if further information becomes available through law enforcement or other sources, we will promptly consider it and take all appropriate steps at that time. Tyreek Hill has been barred from all Chiefs team-related activities. A lot of it came about first day of the NFL draft when audio surfaced in which he discusses injuries suffered by his son, telling his fiancée she should be terrified of him during an 11-minute discussion that took place over the telephone. Now, it's a tough one because that phone call sounded awful, right? Tyreek Hill telling his fiancée she should be terrified of him after his son was hurt. And people, I think, will jump on this and say, how can the league let this guy play? It's evidence, Tyler. I really believe this. And as hard as it is to admit, I do believe this, and maybe I'm naive, but I think if the NFL had evidence that Tyreek Hill had done something that injured his son, they would act on it. I have to believe that they have the evidence now. I don't think it has anything to do with his status as a star player in the league, an important player for Kansas City. The league left the door open, saying first of all, they're looking for more information. They do not have information from legal authorities as to what happened here. In fact, from the league statement, local law enforcement authorities have publicly advised that the available evidence does not permit them to determine who caused the child's injury. So there is no legal charge against Tyreek Hill. The local law enforcement officials, the police, say we don't have enough evidence to charge Tyreek Hill. And if you're the NFL, you got to think, well, if they don't have the evidence and they haven't shared anything else with us, as they have said, we cannot at this point take this guy's job and livelihood away from him, maybe as much as they'd like to. And I believe they'd like to do the right thing here, but people can disagree. I'm wondering what you think about all of this, Tyler.
Well, it looks and sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we all heard the message, read the message, or the conversation, I should say, on the tape. And, you know, he also used the B word in there, and it sounds menacing. It sounds awful from somebody who was kicked off of Oklahoma State's football team and pled guilty to domestic abuse in 2015 after punching and choking the fiance in 2014 at the time. It's not good. I mean, he should have been on thin ice from the get-go. I think it was a surprise to many that he was even drafted, that the Chiefs took this chance. So you piece it all together. I think that when that went down, that audio recording, and we all heard that, you just assume this guy's career might be over. You assume that there is this evidence out there, just a truckload of evidence that would prove what we all thought, you know, yeah. that he was to blame for, his son's, I don't know exactly what.
Broken arm,
and maybe even more than that. So it's not good. But I also do agree with you. You need to live in a world of evidence, of fact, of truths that you know, and you can't just go off a recording. But you know, I will say this, Murph, the optics of this are terrible.
I agree.
It's terrible when you suspend, you know, a quarterback for deflated footballs when you don't really know what the heck went on there four games. And, you know, domestic violence, it seems, is not dealt with seriously by the NFL time and time again.
Well, I may disagree with that last point in this regard. I think the league has cleaned up its act and actually taken pretty important big steps forward on domestic violence. I mean, there is the 6-game standard now, right? You get 6 games if you are, if you violate, it's not even a legal thing, if you violate the NFL's personal conduct policy relating to domestic violence. It wasn't the case in Ray Rice. Big problem. The video surfaced, and the league, I think, and admittedly, Goodell has admitted we made a mistake on Ray Rice, but we've changed that policy now. I think the league's much better now than they were 5-6 years ago on domestic violence. It's not perfect. And this is a tough one. As we said, the police in Kansas City did not have enough evidence to charge. The league in its statement today says, based on the evidence presently available, the NFL cannot conclude that Tyreek Hill violated the personal conduct policy. I think they'd like to be able to, you know, throw a suspension at him, but they just can't do it. You can't take away a guy's livelihood, take away his rights without solid evidence, and they don't have it. I think that's the way I read this.
And I'd encourage everybody to read the coverage Therese Paylor's been doing at Yahoo. He's been all over this story, lives in Kansas City, a buddy of mine in the business. And, you know, he had the report, I believe, on June 26th. And he'll had this 8-hour meeting with the league, and it sounds like he gave them text messages, gave them as much evidence and proof of his own innocence as he could, and cooperated to the fullest extent. Now, there's that, but there's also, it sounds like his fiance didn't cooperate, didn't talk to the league, and you mentioned that law enforcement, there wasn't a ton of cooperation there, there weren't a ton of conversations there, so it's probably a lot that we don't know still. But sure. Tyreek Hill has maintained his innocence. He came out with a statement today called these allegations false. It's a tough, tricky situation because I'm like you, Murph. I don't want to rush to conclusions. I don't want to say something I don't know. All I'm saying is that it looks terrible.
I agree.
That this is somebody who did plead guilty to a heinous act that maybe should have kept him out of the NFL to begin with. Maybe should have, you know, banned him from this league, even having the privilege of playing in the NFL. When you have that as your background, you should be operating on a one-strike system. You should be operating on thin ice. And your reputation kind of precedes you all the time, all of us. So it does not look good.
No, it looks bad, quite frankly. Tyreek Hill did, in fact, issue a statement today. First time he's issued a statement on the situation. And, again, put this in the proper perspective, right? He's just discovered that the league's not going to suspend him. He knows that there's no legal ramifications. And what is he looking for here? Vindication? I'm not going to give him vindication. He's looking for sympathy? I'm not going to give him sympathy. Let me just read a portion of his statement. The last few months have been very difficult for me, especially as a father. Yeah. The false allegations originally reported in March, highly publicized, involved the care of my son. I fully respect and accept the NFL's decision. Hill said to the fans, friends, and family that I've made in Kansas City, I love you, and I thank you for your continued support. To Commissioner Goodell and the NFL, thank you for your time and for conducting a thorough investigation. I will not let you down. Okay. Well, I mean, the best we can hope for here, Tyler, I think, is that Tyreek Hill changes his ways. Obviously, he's had issues in the past, suspected very strongly with some pretty serious allegations here, which nobody can get enough evidence on. And I hope he changes his ways. I hope he straightens himself out. I think that would be the best possible outcome here. And I agree with you. It's a horrible look for the league. It really is bad.
And you would hope that both the Kansas City Chiefs, after what they went through with Kareem Hunt, and the NFL, after what they've gone through, you know, on an annual basis with multiple players, multiple problems, that you think that both would do their investigation to the absolute fullest extent this time around. That would be the assumption. So
sure,
you hope that that was the case, and that you know, that this is the conclusion that was for the best.
Yep. All right, we'll move on. We'll talk more about the Bills and the rest of the AFC East when we return. We want to hear from you. Want to know from you what you think. What are the big issues in the AFC East outside of the Bills? What are the big question marks? The Jets have them. The Patriots have them. The Dolphins have them. What do you see for each of those teams? Give us a call. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Send it a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. More of that when we return. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report here today, filling in for Steve Tasker, who will be back on Monday. Monday is the first week of training camp. We'll be down there next Thursday. Our topic of the day outside of the Bills, what's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? What do you see for the Patriots, for the Dolphins, for the Jets? Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. Time to look at a few of them on the tweet sheet, brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. From the tweet sheet, from Jack, how long, what's the biggest question mark, his response, how long before creepy Adam Gase, volatile Greg Williams, and all-time me guy Le'Veon Bell cause an implosion in Florham Park? When will the Jets crash and burn? Personally, I hope it happens next week. That's a good response. It's funny, but there's an element of truth there, Tyler. All of that could happen. Crash and burn. Well, it could happen down there.
We need to just lay off Adam Gase with the I think he's
with the eyes.
With the eyes. The reference to the eyes. I've talked to him one-on-one, and it's like the exact opposite of what you'd get out of that press conference. Like, very engaging. Like, just really good in that kind of setting. I kind of felt bad for him in a weird way through that.
Tasker always telling me what a good guy he is in production meetings. What do you think happened that day? I mean, he doesn't look – I've never seen him look like that in any other forum.
Yeah, I would just be – I'd be guessing. I really don't know. I mean, maybe there's something going on. We don't know. It was strange.
Yeah. You think that's what that tweet is about? Creepy Adam Gase? That's what he said.
Maybe. I don't know what else it would be.
Greg Williams is volatile.
He is.
All-time me guy Le'Veon Bell. He's on the list anyway. I don't know if he's the all-timer.
Hey, you know I love Le'Veon Bell, so I'm not going to give him that nickname.
Okay, and tell me again why you love him so much.
I think he's really I think he's good. He just does things that no other player can, but he's just so open and honest, and that's so rare from a player of his stature. You know, we've sat down a few times for stories at Bleacher Report, and he really doesn't have airs about him. I mean, he gives everybody his time. And you know, whether he's talking about, you know, his chess game, he plays chess all the time on his phone. He can play like 2, 3, 4 games of chess at once. I mean, that's how his mind works. It's unbelievable. We all know he likes to rap on the side, and just his running style. He kind of compared himself to Steph Curry and, you know, shooting threes in basketball. He wants to start a revolution with those running backs kind of almost coming to a complete stop, being patient, picking and choosing their holes. I just found him unbelievably open, engaging, honest, and really down to earth in that setting.
Okay. Here's an interesting tweet. I like the way this guy's thinking. I like the depth he put into this thought. Brian tweets this in when we ask a question. Biggest question mark in the AFC East outside of the Bills. He says, good one. Well, anybody who tells us we got a good question is good. But he says, good one. They're all teetering on a cliff. Sam Darnold in a new regime. Aging Brady, retirement. But I think the Dolphins could end up Buffalo's best competitor in the upcoming years. Rosen is no slouch. Learning from Fitz. Darnold's going to face coaching carousel. Pats, the Patriots on borrowed time. That's an interesting take to say that the Dolphins might be the biggest threat to the Bills. And I agree with them, and I think you agree too. Rosen is no – well, maybe you don't. We might disagree here. I don't think Rosen is a slouch. I think he had a rough year with a very bad Arizona team, and I expect that he'll get better and be a pretty decent quarterback at some point. What do you think? Am I nuts?
Yeah, he was tough in college, but a lot of guys were tough in college, and I don't know. We just haven't seen it yet. And like we talked about earlier, given the hands that they were dealt, I mean, Josh Allen and Josh Rosen both had really bad hands, really bad supporting cast, really bad offensive lines, and I just think that Josh Allen showed you more. I mean, he just made more plays. Now, you give both a really good offensive line, maybe with a little bit more time, Josh Rosen proves he's a better pocket passer. Maybe. We'll see.
More from the tweet sheet. Outside of the Bills, the biggest question mark in the AFC East. Tiffany tweets this, and her questions: how do the Patriots move on from Gronk's retirement? He's been a game changer for that team and a matchup nightmare for defensive coordinators for years. Does N'Keal Harry fill that role, becoming their red zone target? In my opinion, it's a big loss for Brady and the Pats. It is. We acknowledge that. It is a big loss, right?
Definitely. I mean, a huge loss. He's a Hall of Famer, but we've just been conditioned to expect them to find a way and to change and tweak what they do. And maybe N'Keal Harry is that player who can step in and be a big-time target for Tom Brady. You know, one thing to keep in mind, though, the Patriots really haven't drafted that well at wide receiver, now that I think about it. You know,
they haven't drafted well in many
spots. Chad Jackson, right. They've kind of the part of their genius is they're so good at the veterans they pick up on these cheap deals and on the fly, on the run, and just getting the right guy at the right time with the right fit. So I don't know if this rookie can come in and play. I don't think we should just assume that he's going to be a stud because Belichick found him. That is one spot where, you know, the Patriots maybe aren't as brilliant as we think they are.
Right.
But then, like we talked about earlier, it's going to be interesting. You see Tom Brady out there throwing the ball to Josh Gordon. You kind of wonder, is Josh Gordon going to be in the plans? Hey, he was throwing the ball to Gronk. Is Gronk, are we so sure he's done? He looks about 50 pounds lighter, so he might have to play a little
slot receiver.
He's done.
Don't you think? I think he's done.
I think he is, but you just never know. I mean, they could get into December and need him.
Yeah. Hey, 1 hour in the books. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN and NFL Films. He's going to join us. He's got a lot to say about Josh Rosen. He's done some extensive film review. We'll talk with Greg Cosell about that. So come on back for that in the second hour of the show. Hey, coming up this Sunday, Bills fans, Buffalo Bills Embedded, the new digital series that debuted last year, returning for season two. It airs in its entirety this Sunday, 7 p.m. on the Bills YouTube channel. Kyle Williams is the narrator. Buffalo Bills Embedded, with an in-depth look at the Bills offseason, access behind the scenes, highlighting the draft and the combine and the Senior Bowl. Check it out. You can get it Sunday on the Buffalo Bills YouTube channel. 7 o'clock, you can watch it in its entirety, Buffalo Bills Embedded. We're coming back for more One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.